Thank you, men, for coming and singing earlier. And I have to say, of all the men's choirs I've ever seen, y'all are one of them. You know, I came all the way to Arkansas to see something earlier I'd never seen before. Brother Tim and I were standing outside the fellowship hall a while ago in a pickup truck. Came driving by, and it was pulling a lawnmower. Behind the lawnmower was a trailer hitch with a trailer hooked up to it with a washer and dryer in the trailer. I guess they were moving the washer and dryer with a lawnmower, and the lawnmower broke down, so they had to come pull the lawnmower. I said, I've seen a lot in my life, but I've never seen anything like that. So, anyway, he said, you have to come to Arkansas to see that kind of good stuff, Brother Ronnie. So, anyway, hallelujah. Thank y'all for coming tonight. It's an absolute privilege for me to come and preach at First Baptist Church of Branch. I know most of you, and I love you. Isn't that something? I know you and I still love you. And they say when the preacher tells you he loves you, you better watch out. But I really do love you. And I've got a hard message to preach tonight. But I'll preach it because I love you. Amen? And the Lord preached it because He loved the folks that He was preaching it to. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in here, and don't raise your hands, how many of you in here tonight would say, Brother Ronnie, I'm on fire for Jesus. I am absolutely on fire for Jesus. How many in here tonight would say, Brother Ronnie, I don't care anything about the things of Jesus. Most of us would say, well, I'm somewhere in between. Is that right? This means yes and this means no. Is that right? Most of us would say, like me, there have been times in my life where I was more in love with Jesus than I am right now. Before I got saved, I didn't care about the things of God. But ever since I've been saved, I've cared something about the things of God. Sometimes, I mean, I was just zealous more than I am now about serving Jesus, being all that I could be. And make no mistake, my heart's desire more than anything else is to be just exactly what God wants me to be. Nothing more, nothing less. I have no aspiration other than the will of God. All I want is what God wants. Amen? Everybody with me? All right. You have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 3. Starting in verse 14, it's the letter to the church of the Laodiceans. And I'm going to read the entire letter that Jesus gave to the church at Laodicea, and then I'm going to come back and make comment on it. Starting in verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would, or I wish, thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, or I will vomit thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now he starts this letter off and he says, unto the angel or unto the pastor of the church of the Laodiceans. I think we need to note in this introduction, in this greeting, something I believe is very important. He says, unto the angel of the church. Now, look at the next word. Of the Laodiceans. That greeting is made twice in the seven letters of the seven letters of the book of Revelation. The letter to the church of Ephesus, it says to the church of Ephesus. The other five, it says to the church in, not of, but in Smyrna. The church in Pergamos. The church in Thyatira. The church in Sardis. Now remember, the letter to Sardis, he said, thou hast a name that thou art alive but are dead. But still there was a church in Sardis. The church in Philadelphia. But the church of the Laodiceans, it doesn't say to the church in Laodicea. It says to the church of the Laodiceans. Now why is that? Because the church was not in Laodicea. The church was of Laodicea. The church was not in the world. The church was of the world. The church was worldly. There was no difference between the church of the Laodiceans and the folks in Laodicea that were lost, not naming anything. The same thing with the letter to the church of Ephesus. Remember, they had left their first love. The Scripture says, because sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And sin had abounded in the church at Ephesus, so they had left their first love, and so they had become worldly. And the church at Laodicea was a worldly church. The Scripture says, these things write, or these things saith the Amen. Now the word Amen means so be it. When you say Amen, you're saying so be it. Alright? And we know that Jesus, when He says something, that settles it. You've heard it before. Quite a few years ago, there was a bumper sticker that came out that said, Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And then another bumper sticker came out not very long after that and said, Jesus said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. Amen? When Jesus says it, that settles it. And Romans chapter 3, verse 4, the Scripture says, let God be true, but every man a liar. Whenever Jesus says something, that settles it. When you read the Word of God, you can say, so be it, because you know it's absolutely and positively the truth. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. Not one jot or tittle shall be passed away, He said, until all be fulfilled. When Jesus says something, that's it. That settles it. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. Jesus was faithful to do exactly what He was supposed to do here on this earth. He was born to die. He was born to be crucified. We know that. The Scripture in Hebrews said, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He knew He was fixing to die an awful death. And yet, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He was faithful. And everything Jesus said was true. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the faithful and true witness of God to men. He was faithful to give us exactly what God the Father wanted us to have. He was faithful to give His life. And every word that He said was the truth. You never find a lie in anything that Jesus said. He was the faithful and true witness from God to man. Now listen, he's going to be the faithful and true witness again. He's going to be the faithful and true witness of men to God. At the great white throne judgment of God, he will stand and he will be the witness. And he'll be faithful and he'll be true. He's not going to cut any slack. He will tell the truth. My kids growing up would come in and they'd say, "Daddy, I got to tell you, I did something I shouldn't have done." And they'd tell you a half-truth. They wanted to see how bad trouble they were going to get into for telling that half-truth. They didn't get in much trouble. They'd say, "Oh, and by the way, this also happened." Say, "Okay. What else?" And they'd tell you a little bit more. But Jesus isn't going to do that. He's going to tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the beginning of the creation of God. We know in John 1, the Scripture says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were created by Him, and nothing was created that He did not create." Jesus created everything. He's the beginning of the creation of God. He created everything. Now, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I preached on Jesus' omnipotence and omnipresence and omniscience the other night. But he says that, "I know." In verse 15, "I know." That means he knows everything. What does he know? He knows everything. He knows that they weren't hot. He knows that they weren't cold. He knows that they were in the middle somewhere. And he knows us. He knows whether we're hot or cold. He knows that most of us. You notice I didn't say most of you. Most of us are not hot and we're not cold. And he knows what he wants. He knows what we are and he knows what he wants. He says, "I would," or "I wish that you were hot or cold." You know, over in the book of Malachi, the Scripture talks about how the priests in the book of Malachi offered their scraps to God. And they said, "Have we done this? Have we robbed God?" And they said, "In that you have offered the lame lamb, or the blemished lamb." And they were to give a spotless, healthy lamb to God. But they took that one that was sick, fixing to die, and offered it as a sacrifice to God. They gave God their scraps. And God made the statement over in Malachi. He said, "Is there anyone that would shut the doors for naught?" And what that means is, he's saying, would somebody please shut the doors of the church? It makes me sick. They're giving me their scraps. There's so much more that they could do. And they think so little of me that they're going to give me their scraps. And he said, "I wish you were hot or cold." He's saying, "I would that you were on fire for Jesus, or out there in the world living like the devil." And let me say, the man in the world living like the devil will not be under the judgment and condemnation like a lukewarm Christian in the church. Because we have the truth, and they don't. "I would that thou wert hot or cold, but because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And that word literally means vomit. Just like in Malachi, he tells the church at Laodicea, "You make me sick." Would somebody just shut the doors? If you're not going to give me your all, don't give me anything. I would that you were hot or cold. I was reading the other day, the guy said, if religion is a real thing, it's the best thing. If religion is not real, it's the worst thing. If religion is worth anything, it's worth everything. If Jesus is worth anything, He's worth everything. It's not worth our scraps. He's worth our all. 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. If God is Lord, follow Him. If the world is your Lord, follow Him. The last part of that says, and the people answered him not a word. It doesn't matter. They made a decision. They made a decision. Some of them made a decision to follow the Lord. Some of them made a decision to follow Baal. And tonight, there will be some folks here that will make a decision to follow the Lord, and there will be some folks that will make a decision to follow the world. It doesn't matter if you don't say anything. If you turn and walk out of here tonight knowing that you aren't on fire and you don't make a decision, you will have made a decision. Does that make sense? Amen. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Amen. See, there's no fence riding in the kingdom of God. You can't live your life holding on to Jesus with one hand and holding on to the world with the other. John said it like this. He said, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father's not in him. That's hard preaching. But it's true. You know, Scripture talks about how a dog will go back to his vomit. It's like a dog going back to his vomit. That's the way you are when you're saved and you go back to the world. A dog will do it, but Jesus won't. And if He vomits us out, He won't come back. And you know, the church at Laodicea, did you know that in the 4th century, the council of the churches or all of the leaders of Christianity met at Laodicea? They met there for the 4th council of Christianity, of Christendom. That's amazing, isn't it? Man, it was a big, beautiful city. It was on a major thoroughfare that went from Europe over into Asia. There were caravans passing through there all the time. And then just south of it was Colossa. Where the Colossus was there on the harbor. I mean, a major trade route. There were markets there and wares from all over the world. People got filthy, stinking rich in Laodicea. They had all the money they needed. There were banks there. There were 3 solid marble theaters in Laodicea. Solid marble. There was a big stadium, an amphitheater. They had all that a heart, all that a body, all that their carnal mind could want. They had it all. You can't go to Laodicea today. You can drive through the rubble. Nobody lives there. You see, when God vomits something out, He don't go back to it. They had a sheep there that's extinct now. It had a black fur that was so dark and rich it was almost purple. And they made robes out of this wool. And we know that purple is a sign of royalty. And it was really a mark of pride to wear one of these robes. Oh, you knew somebody was from Laodicea if they were wearing one of those robes, because they were very expensive. But that didn't matter because they had all the money they needed. They had everything they wanted. And they were also famous for a certain type of eye salve that a lot of people had eye diseases back then. And you'd go to Laodicea and they manufactured this eye salve there that cured the blindness in some people who had certain diseases. They had hospitals. It was a medical center. It was a pretty famous place. Like my son said, back in the day. But it's not there anymore. Jesus said, because you are rich and increased with goods, and say, I have need of nothing. And you know it's not, that you're miserable and wretched and blind and naked and poor. You've been blinded by the things of the world. And you don't even see your real situation anymore. You know, I live in Memphis, Tennessee. I work in the inner city of Memphis. I worked down there because God called me to the hood. And I'd have to step down to go anywhere else because that's where God called me. And that's where God put me. And I love being where God wants me to be. But the folks in the hood, even the bad guys, for the most part, will respect a preacher. I mean, I went to those gangster disciples the other day, and they recognized me as a preacher. And I began to talk to them about how empty they were and about how they were without Christ, without hope in the world, and how they needed Jesus, and they responded to it. But you know, there's a suburb of Memphis called Germantown. And you go out to Germantown and start knocking on doors, if they just cuss you out, that's a good visit. They'll throw rocks at you. They'll sick the dog on you. Most of the folks that live in Germantown are wealthy. They're worldly. They have more than a heart could wish for. And they say, well, I must be okay. I'm doing okay. I'm all right. Look at how God's blessing me. They don't realize they're miserable and poor and blind and wretched and naked. They don't realize it. They've been blinded by the world and the things of the world. And the church at Laodicea was like that. And folks in our churches today, many of them say, well, I must be all right. God lets me go to church on Sunday. Gives me a couple of dollars to put in a plate. I must be all right. Put $3 or $4 in the plate. I got a $50,000 bass boat. Don't think about getting between them and their idol. Now, I like to fish. I do. And I like to hunt. I do. But boy, I tell you what, it don't get between me and Jesus. Jesus gets the lion's share of everything I've got. Amen? And if I have anything left, I may spend it to go fishing. I hadn't been fishing once in 2 years. But I like to go. I like to do it. I've just been too busy. I hadn't been able to go. Everybody with me? There's some folks, opening weekend of deer season, you won't see them in church. preacher down in Louisiana was talking to me about when I could come to a revival. And I said, well, I've got this week free. He said, oh, you can't come then. Y'all already know. He said, that's opening weekend of deer season. Nobody will come. Laodicea. Don't realize how much they need Jesus. Don't realize their spiritual condition. They're blinded by the world. Jesus told them in verse 18, He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. In Isaiah 55, verse 1, O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. He says, buy gold tried in the fire. Buy that thing that matters the most. Say, well, salvation matters the most. You can't buy salvation. But you can buy it. Now, Brother Ronnie, I know you can't buy salvation. You're telling me you can buy it? In order to have it, you've got to make room for it. Because you can't hold on to the world and hold on to Jesus at the same time. You drop the things of the world so that you can receive Christ. Does that make sense? So you're giving up stuff to receive salvation. You know, the night I got saved, I was sitting there thinking, or I was kneeling there in front of my couch, and I was thinking, boy, I'm going to lose all my friends. And I did. I did. As long as I had a bag of dope and a six-pack of beer, I had all the friends I wanted. But when I got saved and said, I'm not going to do that anymore, they all left. Of course, God will never call you to give up anything. Then He won't give you more and better of it later. Or more and better of something better. Amen. He called me to give up weed. He didn't give me more weed later. Alright? But He gave me friends all over this world. Brothers and sisters that love me in spite of myself. Amen? He says, buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. I'm rich. I've got everything I want. He said, oh, wait a minute. That's what the Laodiceans said. Not in the way they were. You know why I've got everything I want? Because all I want is what God wants me to have, and God is God enough to give me just what He wants me to have. Amen? I'm rich. I've got all that I want. God wants me to have something, He'll give it to me, and I'll say hallelujah. But if not, I'm happy as can be. Amen? And let me just say this. This is something I preached a long time ago. You'll never have enough until God's enough. And you'll never have all you want until Jesus is all you want. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. Isaiah 1, 18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come to Jesus and let Him wash you whiter than snow. Only He can do that. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. See, they were famous for all these things. But he says, anoint your eyes with this eye salve, with the Holy Spirit, that you might see the truth of the Word of God. And you know, before I read the Word, before I get into the Bible, into my Bible study every day, I say, Dear Holy Spirit, open my eyes and show me just what you want me to see. If you ask God to do that, He'll do it. Amen? Jesus said, When the Comforter whom I will send is come, He shall lead you into all truth and righteousness. So I pray and say, Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit's just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. I say, Holy Spirit of God, open my eyes. And that's how we anoint our eyes with eye salve. Now, we know that that's a pretty hard message so far, right? And even though Laodicea was, the church was not in Laodicea, they were of Laodicea. Even though they were lukewarm and they made Jesus sick. And you know, it's pretty tough for the Lord to write to a church and say, Hey, you make me sick. I mean, that'd be hard to receive, wouldn't it? And it's hard for y'all to receive it, for me to stand here tonight and say, if you're not on fire for Jesus, you make Him sick. That's tough, isn't it? We don't want to make Jesus sick. That's hard for me to say that. And it's hard for Jesus to say it. But look at verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Jesus said, I'm saying all this because I love you. I'm saying this because I love you. That's why the letter to the Laodiceans is in there, because Jesus loves me. And he looks and he sees Ronnie Tullis. See, Tim told me, he said, that's why I don't like you evangelists. He said, y'all get to practice your sermons. And I said, brother, that's what God made a mirror for. But I preached this message at our Bible study at Miracle Baptist Church last Thursday. And I got ready to give the invitation. Man, I was under conviction. I said, I don't know how to give this invitation, but I know what I need to do. And I went and got on the altar and got right with God. I knew what I needed to do. So I'm not telling y'all something that God hadn't already preached to me. Hallelujah for verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man will hear my voice and open the door. I will come into him and I will sup, or I will fellowship with him and he with me. Jesus says, open your heart's door. I'm standing here knocking. Just let me in. Let me in. You can't be on fire on your own. But you can let Jesus come in and let Him fill you with His fire. Amen? Amen? But you'll make a choice tonight. Do I want to be on fire? Or do I want to be lukewarm? Because I would venture to say there's nobody in here. You wouldn't be here if you didn't care anything about the things of God. Says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame. I can't overcome outside of his overcoming. And am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. If you have an ear to hear, if you have a spiritual ear to hear, I pray the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Perhaps you're sitting here tonight and you say, you know, I heard what you said, Brother Ryan, but that don't mean a hill of beans to me. That makes no sense whatsoever. Did you know that spiritual things are spiritually discerned? The Bible says, and the carnal man or the lost man cannot understand it. And if I just preached that message and it was Greek to you, it went over your head and you say, I don't have a clue what he's talking about. It may be that you couldn't receive it because you're not a Christian. Saved people understand when the Holy Spirit of God's talking to them. You say, well, Brother Ronnie, how do you know that's true? Well, number one, the Bible says it's true. Number two, before I got saved, I used to try to read the Bible and I didn't understand any of it. But after I got saved and started reading it, I thought, wow, man, this is awesome. God began to speak to me. Amen? So if you didn't understand anything I've said, you need to examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. See if you're saved. If you're here and you say, Brother Ronnie, God's dealing with my heart, then do what God wants you to do tonight. Okay? Last Thursday, I told him, I said, I don't know about y'all, but I know what I'm going to do. And I got on the altar. And I heard a bunch of other folks get on the altar. But it took me longer than it did them. It was more for me to confess, I guess. But all I want is what God wants. And I believe that God wants to do a work at First Baptist Church of Branch. I believe God will minister to you if you'll let Him. I believe God will bless you spiritually if you let Him. I believe God will use you in a great and mighty way if you'll let Him. I believe God will fire you up if you'll let Him. Will you let Him? Or will you leave lukewarm? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'll be the first to admit that my righteousness is as filthy rags in your eyes. And my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked because that's what your word says about it. And the very best that I can do is just woefully short of what I ought to do. And so, God, I give myself away. I give myself to you completely and totally without reservation. Take me, O God, and do whatever you will with me. I don't care what it takes, what it costs, what it means. Do whatever you will with Ronnie Tullis. And you will be good in your doing of it. And you will be loving in your doing of it because you're a good God and you're a loving God. And God, we come to you tonight fearfully, Lord. I come fearful, scared, God. Scared that someone will leave this place lost tonight. Scared that they'll miss heaven and go to a devil's hell. God, if there's somebody here tonight who's not 100% sure that they're going to heaven, give them grace to cry out for salvation tonight. Give them grace to pray a simple prayer, mean it with all their heart, draw them with cords of love. Help them, O God, to pray a prayer something like this. Just say, Lord Jesus, I give myself to you completely and totally. Come into my heart, wash away my sin, and save me. And if you'll pray that prayer and mean it with all your heart, Jesus will save you the same way He did me. If you're here and you say, Brother Ronnie, I just prayed that. I prayed it and meant it with all my heart. Raise your hand up so I can see it. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else? Lord Jesus, there are folks here I know that are lukewarm. I pray for them, God, that tonight you would give us grace to present ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. And God, some can and some can't, but some can present themselves as a sacrifice on the altar of this church. God, they don't have to confess anything to me or Brother Tim or the church, unless it's something outward that's affected it. God, they can come to you and talk to you. And so, God, I ask for those that need to make a decision that tonight you will give them a courage. You will give them grace. You'll have mercy on them. And allow them, O God, to make the decision that you want them to make. The decision that you're waiting for them to make. You're knocking on our heart's door, Lord. And in the next few minutes, some will say, no, go away. And some will say, come in. I pray, Jesus, that the folks would say, come in. Do a work here tonight.